Now, this, there's actually more to it. Cookie, give me the syrupy stuff. I mean, I want it all. I want all the syrup. I want people, nah, darn, people have to, you know, people didn't hear this. I don't, and you know what I did? I turned over to the networks. I was watching this on cable. I turned over to see if the networks were actually carrying this, because I thought they might be. You know, they weren't. But I thought they might be. But, I mean, it was more syrupy than this. I mean, it was... I don't even want to try to paraphrase it. I just want Cookie to put the welcoming him to the White, how great it is to have him back, how great a president. Welcome home, how great it was to have he and Hillary back there, and what great people they were to occupy the office. There's a reason why Bush did this. These are, you know, powerful enough comments as they are, but I want you to hear some of the real syrupy stuff in the opening of what the president had to say.
The years have done a lot to clarify the strengths of this man as a candidate for any office, whether it be the state attorney general or the president. Bill Clinton showed incredible energy and great personal appeal. As chief executive, he showed a deep and far-ranging knowledge of public policy, a great compassion for people in need, and the forward-looking spirit that Americans like in a president. Bill Clinton could always see a better day ahead, and Americans knew he was working hard to bring that day closer. Over 8 years, it was clear that Bill Clinton loved the job of the presidency. He filled this house with energy and joy. He's a man of enthusiasm and warmth who could make a compelling case and effectively advance the causes that drew him to public service. People in Bill Clinton's life have always expected him to succeed. And more than that, they wanted him to succeed. And meeting those expectations took more than charm and intellect. It took hard work and drive and determination and optimism. I mean, after all, you've got to be optimistic to give 6 months of your life running the McGovern campaign in Texas. He won his first statewide office at age 30. Sworn in as governor at 32. He's a five-time governor of Arkansas, the first man from that state to become the president. He's also the first man in his party since Franklin Roosevelt to win a second term in the White House. And I can tell you more of the story, but it's coming out in fine bookstores all over America.
First thing, did you notice my clumsy fine edit right there? The reason I did that is because when Bush said it live, he said, coming out in fine bookstores, he just screwed it up. And always to protect, that's Rush's job, it's the media's job, it's the job of NBC, CBS, Fox, ABC, CNN, that's all of their jobs, to protect this illegal monkey. In this case, this is Rush's edit. But to make Bush look like less of an idiot, he went in there and fixed his words. Sure, old Bart, I have to go in and fix my words too, but I'm not the President of the United States. It's not incumbent on me to have a brain and be able to speak at the same time. The monkey stole that job. He ought to be able to halfway do it without other people having to patch him up. Okay, second thing you need to know, Rush is about to tell the truth. Yes, you heard it from me. Rush is about to tell you the truth, and you think Rush has been reading BartCop.com, listening to BartCop Radio because of what he's about to say.
When he talked about Clinton meeting John F. Kennedy, and when he talked about how Hillary and Bill met in the library at Yale, I mean, this was a tribute that the Democrats have not given Clinton. Let's put it this way. It was a tribute that we haven't heard. The Democrats haven't had the courage to say these things about Clinton that Bush said today.
That is the most accurate and true thing I've ever heard Rush say. The Democrat Party has turned into the biggest bunch of spineless wimps I've ever seen in my 50 years. It's almost like a... Who's that guy with the painting? Dorian Gray. The Democrat Party was in pretty good shape. And then Clinton came along, and somehow Clinton and the Democrats became like a tide. As Clinton got bigger and greater and more powerful, the Democrats, they just... Their nads just kind of shriveled up and went up into their body. They always refused to support Clinton, always. The first thing Clinton did when he hit the White House, he tried to fulfill a promise he made to the gays and fix this gays in the military issue. Sam Nunn, Republican backstabber from Georgia, he said, "You'll do that over my dead body." So right away, Clinton's been in office a week, and his first promise, they basically called him all in. Mr. President, you want to bet your entire administration on this issue? And so he had to back off that some. They ended up making some kind of treaty. You know, they had to settle for it. But Sam Nunn started the Stab Clinton in the Back Brigade. Then they came up with the health care deal. And that's when every Democrat ran away from Clinton at light speed like they were Jesse Owens. I remember it so clear because I semi-knew a candidate in 1994. We went to a meeting here in Tulsa, some rich guy's house. This guy was running against Jim Inhofe. This is the guy that Inhofe put the fangs on. Inhofe puts the guy's picture on the TV. And as the more Inhofe spoke, the candidates, his name was Dave McCurdy. He was on the Intelligence Committee back when we had intelligent people on the Intelligence Committee. But Dave McCurdy, as he talked, fangs came out of his mouth. I'm sorry, as Inhofe, the son of a bitch, spoke, this picture of McCurdy was on TV, and the fangs grew out of his mouth. His eyebrows got real bushy. His ears turned pointed. He turned into physically a demon. He didn't demonize him in that sense. No, he actually demonized him. And, of course, McCurdy lost because in Oklahoma, you know, anyone that's associated with Clinton's a bad guy. But McCurdy could have lost by saying the right thing. He could have lost by saying, this is a great health care program. And I don't know if it was, but the idea that they wouldn't stand behind him. Instead of saying, damn it, this is the biggest. Remember the argument they said, oh, we can't fix health care. That's 1/7 of the economy. It's like, well, no, let's not fix the big problems. That would be wrong. Let's worry about the flag burning amendment instead. Yeah, let's spend all our time and energy on that and let health care costs go crazy because it's only 1/7 of the entire economy. Democrats refused to back Clinton, and they went around the country saying, yes, I agree, Clinton's a bad man, he's out of control, he doesn't know what he's doing, him and that crazy bitch wife of his, they don't know what they're doing, they're scaring the little children and everybody with this health care deal, and he's going to take away your doctor, and the Democrats ran from him and ran and ran and ran. And if you've been reading Barcop a while, you know there's that picture we have to run occasionally, shows Bill Clinton standing there with a big Democratic knife in his back. That is that and the Nader cartoon, a couple others are some of my favorites, because the Democrats constantly stab their own in the back, especially Clinton. And I just hate that. As time went by, every chance they got to distance themselves from Clinton, they took it. They refused to stay with Clinton no matter what. We'll get to impeachment in a moment, but even the impeachment vote, the only reason they voted to acquit on impeachment is because it would make them look bad. If they could have found a way to hang Clinton and not have that shame be on the Democrats, they would have just let him go. They just would have let the Republicans screw him to death. And you say, oh, but Bart, what choice did they have? Hey, don't be asking me no questions like that, because I got answers. I remember Bill Press was on Crossfire at the time. And, well, as you know, impeachment, like everything, went on forever, for years. You know, I mean, they were into this for years before they started impeachment. But every night, the Democrats would get on Crossfire, and the Republican would say, but your president's a scumbag. And the Democrats would say, we know, we're sorry. That's all they could do for their friend Bill Clinton, the only Democrat to win two terms since FDR. That's how they stood by their man. Yes, we know he's a scumbag. I apologize. He's a bad man, an evil man. He's a bad husband, but he made some jobs. You know, that's how they defended their man. God, that pissed me off. I can't name a Democrat who stood with Clinton. Now, maybe you can. Maybe you can write to me or call the Bart phone something and say, Bart, don't forget, so-and-so stood with Clinton. For some reason, Barney Frank's popping into my head, but, you know, he had his own little sex scandal there, so he couldn't jump in too much with, oh, come on, give the guy a break. Ted Kennedy, of course, what could he do? But all the allegedly innocent Democrats, they just refused to do anything to stand up for Clinton. They just wanted to watch him swing in the wind on the end of that rope. I can't believe the backstabbing, spineless, yellow Democrats. Oh, it makes me sick. And now I want to give you something I've been saving for years. I've been staring at this newspaper for years. For years I've been staring at this headline. This is from Tulsa World, December 18th, 1998. Big giant headline, impeachment debate to start. House will go forward with vote. Republicans decide to schedule debate despite the events in Iraq. Remember, Clinton was working on Iraq. But he didn't sacrifice 800 men for no damn reason, did he? No, he didn't do that. So the House was determined to go forward with the impeachment vote, even though we were at war. Remember all this crap they're saying now? Oh, but if you criticize the president, you're helping the enemy. Well, gee, what about impeaching the president during military action? Lying bastards. Okay, subheadline, House Speaker-elect has also cheated on his wife. Now check this out. Washington, D.C., incoming House Speaker Bob Livingston acknowledged Thursday night that he had been unfaithful to his wife, telling stunned fellow Democrats that he had, quote, on occasion strayed from my marriage. Livingston, Republican bastard from Louisiana, got a standing ovation of support from his colleagues. God, that pisses me off. The Democrats just screwed Clinton. They just screwed him to death. And here's Bob Livingston had to stand up there and say, now, I cheated on my wife. I went out to Las Vegas, and I had some woman dressed up in leather. She had a little crop in her hand, and she made me take my pants off, and she got me on all fours, and she was beating my ass with her riding crop, making me say, Bobby's been a bad boy. Can I suck your toes? And the son of a bitch got a standing ovation. That's what the Republicans do for each other. When a guy screws up, they stand with him. They stood and applauded, a standing ovation. He's in whips and chains and bondage and S&M and whatever all that stuff is. And they gave him a standing ovation. That's the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. The Republicans stick together when they give Livingston a standing ovation, and the Democrats go on crossfire to call Clinton a scumbag. That makes me so sick. Spineless, wimpy, cowardly, backstabbing, that infuriates me no end that I'm in this party. The party that screws their own to help the other side, to help the enemy. They screw their own. We're Democrats.
You are now listening to Arch Cop Radio.